Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us, yes, you, and you, let us exalt his wonderful name together. I am so glad that you have joined us on today. So once you grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, today is that wonderful day that God has made, and we're going to rejoice and be so glad therein. I tell you, we have a wonderful lesson on today. We're going to be talking about God revealed himself in love. We're going to talk about the love of our Father. I tell you, we're going to look at First John chapter number 4, verses 8 and verse 16. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, and 2 Corinthians 5, and verse number 14. And the essence of it, God's nature, he is love. And we enjoy our love and relationship with him. And he wants to display that love in our life even greater as never before. So let's take a look at John chapter number 1, verse number 4, chapter 4, verse number 8, and verse 16. Before we read it, we will pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask that you bless each and every one of the listeners. We ask that you give them an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to their church, and that you will open up their understanding in regards about your love. Let it be a deep yearning in our hearts for more of you, as you are desiring more of us, and quality time spent with you. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. First John chapter 4, verse 8 and 16 read, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 4 states, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Then we're all dead. So far, the reading of the scripture. And then we also want to go back and focus on 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is one of the most overused words in the English language. There is a wide variation in the intent and intended concept by the word love, and there is a difference between what the word calls love and what the Bible calls love. Now, the world and says, I love you, on the card and a personal note and in the song lyrics. The phrase rolled grubbly from the tongues, often without any deep emotional stirring. The word idea of love cheapened with his lifestyle, the lack of mutual commitment between individuals. Although many have devalued this expression of endearment, and the true meaning of love remains. True love is a powerful motivating force. Anger, hatred, and other words of the flesh are strong, but godly love surpasses all of them. Now, two hallmarks of God's nature, his holiness and his love, dramatically affects his relationship with mankind. He has always desired to share his love and holiness with humankind. But Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden and made it impossible for them to continue experiencing communion with God. However, even though Adam and Eve sinned, imputed unrighteousness to human race and ruined humankind's communion with God, the Creator, still loved them and promised a future Redeemer. You'll find that over in Genesis 3:15. This promise gave mankind the first hope that a developer will come, deliverer will come. God's plan of redemption required a blood sacrifice. The first known indication of the blood sacrifice was when God sacrificed animals and used their skin to clothe Adam and Eve. And another early indication of the animal sacrifice appeared in Abel's offering to God of the firstling of his flock, Genesis 4:4. Now after God's first promise to redeem mankind, he slowly worked towards the fulfillment of his plan. Two millennium passed before he founded the Hebrew nation through Abraham, and about 500 more years passed before he gave the law through Moses. The law served as the schoolmaster to eventually lead mankind to Jesus Christ. The law required the blood sacrifice of the bull and the goats, but they only forestalled even the judgment. They were made unable to remit sin and reconcile individual to God. Then in the fullness of time, God manifested himself in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Galatians 4:4. On the cross, he provided the ultimate sacrifice for sin as the true Lamb of God, offering himself for the sin of all the world. It was the ultimate demonstration of love. Now, the scriptural ideal of love is quite different from the world's contemporary idea. It is clear when comparing three Greek words listed and represented the three concepts of love, eurio, the philia, and agape. Eurio characterizes the world concept of the sensual, lustful love, and it does not appear in scripture. Filio is the type of love that exists in family relationship and friendship and the love of the world for its own. Jesus also used filio to describe the love of the hypocrites for loud public prayers in the marketplace and the love of the Pharisees for the uppermost room at the feast. And you see that in Matthew 6:5 and Matthew 23:6. Now, the highest form of love, however, is represented in the Greek word agape, which is committed and selfless love that characterizes the love of God. Jesus taught his disciples to love him, their neighbors, and even their enemy with the kind of love expressed by the word agape. This kind of love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Further, it is unselfish, sacrificial, pure in its motive. Paul described the true agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. The scripture revealed God's love for sinful mankind. For example, Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love, the agape, towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You'll see John 3:16-17. Jesus revealed that people would identify believers through their demonstration of godly love and action. Only the indwelling Spirit of God enables us to manifest his love both to our fellow believers and then also to our fellow humans. It is often easy to love those who love us, but more difficult to love those who despitefully use us. Nevertheless, people will recognize us as Christ's disciples if we love him and others and keep his commandments. Let's look further. God is love. Love defines the character of God from the before the foundation and the creation of the world and throughout eternity. He always has been and always will be the very essence of love, for he is love. His love is not reactive, and it is not based upon the action of others. He loves regardless of who and whether an individual returned their love. Further, we will never deserve his love through our own righteousness or merited through good work. We are unworthy of his love, yet God expresses his deep and abiding love towards us by saving, restoring, feeding, helping, and comforting, and enabling us. His fathomless love inspires us in terms to love him through devotion and obedience. Further, our understanding of his love deepens and broadens over time. The more we know him, the more we love him, the more his love manifests itself through us. Now let's take a look at Ephesians 3, verses number 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now, ascribed has Jesus, which is the first commandment of all. You'll find that over in Mark 12 and verse 28. Jesus replied, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment," Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to verse number 30. God demanded our love and will not tolerate being given secondary loyalty in our life. What if our love is divided between him and someone or something else? What if we love someone or something more than we love him? The scripture addresses such divided love and loyalty. Let us consider these three examples. Number one, some people will not let go of their love of the world. Some people may decide not to follow Jesus because they enjoyed the pleasure of sin. Or once enlightened, others may turn back to the world, being drawn by the pull of the former pleasures. The latter happened in the case of Demas. He had been a trusted follower and laborer with Paul. But when he let his love for the Lord fade, his former love pulled him back into an ungodly lifestyle. And you'll see that over in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2 and 15. Number two, some people will not let go of their love for their own life. This is the essence of selfishness, and it manifests itself in numerous ways. Jesus said, "If a person will not deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him, he would lose his life." Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, and also 2 Timothy 3 and 2. The Lord both desire and demand first place in our life. Now let's look at the third. But will not let go of their love for family. This could mean rejecting the gospel because of an upset, unbelieving family member, or refusing to leave home to follow God wherever he calls. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than he is not worthy of him. And he that loveth son or daughter more than him is not worthy of me. And you'll find that in Matthew 10:37. No man can serve two masters, for either they're going to love the one and love the other, or else they're going to hold to the one and despise the other. Matthew 6:24. Not only does God command us to love him, he also commands us to love our neighbors, for the two chief commandments are of equal significance. Jesus said the second commandment is like the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark chapter 12 and verse 31. Jesus taught extensively on the principle, a man cannot say he loved God if he does not love his brother. Apostle John also underscored this truth, 1 John 3, verses 10. God's love for people, whether they are believers or unbelievers, whether they are dead to sin or dead in sin, because we have received his love, he expects us to love others in the same way he loves. This is not does not come naturally. It happens only when we become a channel of his love for others. Only then will God's love radiate through us towards others, whether they treat us well or ill. And you'll find that in John 13 and 34. True love is more than a sentiment or an emotion. It is a living principle that manifests itself in our actions. We may say we love, but how deep is that love? Have we established a line that we refuse to cross? Will we love until the level of our commitment reaches the invisible line and then we refuse to go any further? The love of God knows no limits or boundaries. One cannot calculate or measure it because of its fathomless. It does. It goes beyond swelling words or lyrics of songs and the person's life of love and kindness towards each other. Sadly, the world has taken God's gift of the ability to love and bent it into unrecognizable shape. Like a person's distorted reflection in a wavy mirror, some people's concept of love is a distortion and sometimes perverted. For many, love is earthly and sensual. Some fall in love and out of love indiscriminately. Others have been buried by earthly love so many times that when someone expresses genuine love for them, they immediately suspect an ulterior motive. Still, God loves all individuals because he created them in his image. He rules the world with his pure and undefiled love, and all believers are demonstrated the same love one to the other. Now let's look further. The love emerges as the context of God's revelation and dealing. The Spirit of God is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. No man has seen God at any time, John 1 and 18, for God is a spirit. Humankind only to observe God have existed by the glimpse of him through the epiphany, a brief temporary manifestation of him, or through observing the life of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Further, God also revealed his love to mankind through his words, his exploit, his history, his testimony. We can know his love personally through his actions, such as forgiveness and fellowship with him. The context of God's love is his holiness. Since God's nature is holy, his love also must be holy. Mankind wallowing in the filth and corruption of sin repulsed God, but still with love he reaches down into the mire and draws us up to himself. His sacrifice on the cross revealed the depth of his love and sacrifice to reach fallen humanity then and washes away filthiness of sin. No wonder the songwriter penned the words, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. The history of Israel displayed the steadfast love and patience of God from the Exodus to Babylon captivity. Israel was stuck in a pattern of backsliding, chastisement, forgiveness, and restoration as God sought to redeem them. He sent his prophets to deliver messages of judgment, but also promises of forgiveness and restoration. For such a blessed people with a long history of miracle at the hand of God, it is difficult to understand their ways in which they went. How could they turn away from the only true God who loved them and run to Baal and other idols who could not see or speak or act or love? God's dealing with Israel provided a tremendous example for us today. He did not forsake Israel, even though the people often turned to idols. and gave them worship that rightfully belonged to the Lord. He used the prophet Hosea and his wife Gomer as a vivid illustration of how long he longed for and a loving relationship that he and his people once had enjoyed. Hosea's real-life experience conveyed the God's message to Israel. I forgave you for leaving me and returned to other gods and to other love. I will buy you back from slavery, heal your wounds, and care for you. He inspired Hosea to write, I leave them with cords of human kindness, which ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their necks and bent down to feed them. That's Hosea 11, verse number 4, coming from the NIV. Now, how far-reaching is the love of God? One cannot compute, nor calculate, nor measure it. His love never falters. It is constant. Further, he delights in blessing and caring for and enabling those who love him. He grieves with when he must merit our judgment because the sinner refuses to repent. Further, let's look at his love, his powerful motivation. Now, it goes on to say, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be content. Now, Alan Clark wrote, neither common nor uncommon adversity, even of the most erroneous nature, can destroy the love that when it is pure. Love is such that nothing can procure it. No money can purchase it. No poverty can buy it. No arts can persuade it. The writer of the song of Solomon marvel over the strong forces of love. It can overcome any obstacle. It can survive a flood. The love of the Father compels him to sacrifice his desires of his children. A soldier's love for his country compels him to fight to the death if necessary. In the spiritual realm, love causes men and women to give their lives to establish new churches or go to distant continents as missionary. It compels countless believers to witness and minister to the community, teach Sunday school, and work in various church ministries. Now let's take a look at the love of God. The power of God's love caused him to give. He gave up the splendor, the wealth, the majesty, the adoration of heaven to accept the poverty, lowliness, and rejection of humanity. He gifted mankind with mercy, grace, compassion, healing, forgiveness, and ultimately his life. It was the most selfless, extravagant display of love the world has ever known. No wonder John wrote, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. 1 John 3 and 1. For Jesus, the greatest pain of the crucifixion was not the mutilation of his body or the mocking of the gainsayer. The greatest pain was that the Lord bore in his body the sins of the whole world. He knew no sin. He became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. He withheld nothing of the price of redemption for the fallen man. What kept him nailed to the cross? He could have called for a host of angels, but love for us constrained him. He could have struck back at the accuser, but he submitted to the same abuse and humiliation they heaped upon criminals. With one word, he could have overthrown the power and overpowered the soldier who beat him. But he chose to suffer the stripes on his back for our salvation and healing. He could not have done any more than that. He gave his all. Christ's death on the cross was the ultimate example of sacrificial love. He died that we might live. Let's look at the love of God in us. When we often refer to the day of Pentecost as the birth of the church in the same sense, every personal Pentecost become his spiritual birthday. Every sinner who is born of the water and of the Spirit cries out in repentance, is born of the water through the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, receive the Holy Ghost, and with evidence of speaking in other tongues. John marveled over God's loving gift of spiritual birth, 1 John 3:1. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Children often exhibit the same look and nature and characteristics of as even mannerism and quirk of one or both of the parents. Likewise, as children of God, we mirror his nature and attributes. We amplify his love. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfect in us, 1 John 4:12. Living in his love motivates us to go, to give, to minister, to spend our days as living sacrifice. God, we should give ourselves in sinless service to others, in selfless service to others. It is the only rational response to the priceless gift that God has bestowed upon us. Paul cited his first convert in Achaia and Stephen and his household as an example of this. You know the house of Stephanus, and that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted and devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, let's take a look at love is the supreme quality of Christianity. Love seeks an outlet of expression and produces a response. It is not flowery words, but a living force that propels us to go beyond the sense of duty or obligation and give us all to him. We are channels through which the Spirit of God flows to touch the lives of others. God does not cross through many Christians have died as martyrs through the century. He asks us to present our bodies as living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. Instead of hoarding to ourselves the mercies and the love of God has lavished on us, we give it away to others. We become his hand, his feet, his mouthpiece to declare his love in the world, in deeds to a hurting world. As light in the dark world, we dispel darkness and shining God's love like a beacon into the night. Shining our light by leading others to his light is our opportunity to show God how much we appreciate the wonderful blessing of redemption. Angels cannot understand this ministry because they have not experienced redemption from sin. Until they experience the new birth, neither can unbelievers understand the zeal and the favor that compels the believer. Love causes us to display priority and attitudes, forms to the carnal ways of thinking. The world does not understand people who do not retaliate when they are abused or mistreated, but who are willing to forgive others. We have an abiding joy in spite of life circumstances. Our lifestyles and appearance draw their attention. People notice we are not bound by enslaving habits of drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. We do not talk about the same things or go to the same places they frequent for entertainment. People who may never read the scriptures watch our life closely, reading us like living epistles. This is not a display or arrogant or selfish, self-righteous. Instead, we are trying to please our Savior. This is the love of God on display in our life. The greatest example of the love of God in us is brotherly kindness and compassion towards others. The Apostle Peter gave practical example of how amplifying the love of God, or he calls it partakers of the divine nature. Now, W.E. Vine commented on the nature of brotherly love, and he said, God love, whether exercised towards the brethren or towards men generally, is an impulse from the feeling. It does not always run with natural inclination, or does it dispense itself only upon those who are discovered. Love seeks the welfare of all and works no ill to any. Love seeks opportunity to do good all men, especially towards them that are the household of faith. Now let's look further here. Paul approached the subject of love from a different angle by providing a more detailed list of the attributes of God's love. See 1 Corinthians 13. He cautioned the exercise of spiritual gifts is meaningless unless we do it in the context of brotherly love. Loving others does not stem from a feeling. It stems from a decision. Because we love, we decide to show patience, kindness, and courtesy. We decide not to be envious, proud, concerned only about ourselves. We decide to be poor reporters or record keepers when it comes to wrong against us and to curb our temper when it comes to provocation. We decide to rejoice in truth and protect the reputation of others, trust, hope, and persevere. This is the love of God on display. Judas displayed Jesus, betrayed Jesus, because he loved what was in the money bag more than he loved Jesus. Demas left Paul because he loved this present world more than he loved Jesus. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Many commentators asserted the question Peter because Peter had declared he would never leave the Lord even if others disciples left. Still, Peter had denied him under duress. Jesus was not trying to shame Peter, him to understand what is necessary to help us hold firm to our commitment of the love for Christ. If we love something else more than God, it adversely affects our lifestyle, devotion, witnesses, church attendance, and giving. To manifest the love of God requires a dedicated sacrificial walk with him. We need to examine our list of priority and reposition them if God, Jesus is first. Jude advised, keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 21. Keeping oneself in the love of God entails living out the aspect of love as outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. It means maintaining a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and producing the fruit of the Spirit. It means walking in the ways of the Lord. Finally, the love of God is a powerful motivating force. Because he loved his creation, God manifested himself in flesh as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He lived a humble life of obscurity until he began his ministry. Then he healed lepers, made mute to speak, and opened deaf ears. He delivered the demons possessed and those bound by the spirit of infirmity. Because he loved, he gave mankind the opportunity to enter into his kingdom. And because he loved, he offered himself as a sinless sacrifice on the cross. There has never, ever been a greater example of genuine love. We also, as believers, can obey the plan of salvation and have the sinless blood of the Lamb applied to our lives. The Lord washes away our sins through repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We witness to others because the promise is for all who will obey the gospel. We give ourselves to God and others as living sacrifice. This is the love of God on display. My God, my God, children of God, as never before, let us, as a time as such as it is now, to display the love of God as never before in and through our lives so that all will see the love of our Father as never before. I tell you, child of God, it is time for us to show the love, to display the love of our Father, so all will know and can partake and taste and see that the Lord, he too is good.
I tell you, children of God, I pray that you have been blessed on today. I pray that you have been blessed from this lesson. Truly, it has blessed me on today. Understanding the Father and what the Father is able to do in and through the lives of his people as we begin to be the instrument of love, living in love, operating in love, displaying the love of our Father. Amen. The agape love, that selfless love, compassion, kindness towards one another. And we will see the powerful work and will of God being displayed in and through our life. May you forever be blessed by God and the things of God. I'm so glad that you joined me on today, and I pray that you will be blessed and have been blessed by the wonderful word of the Lord our God. Until we meet again, as I always would say, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich in add no sorrow. I pray that there be a no sorrow blessing that comes. May God bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.